have done a better job of leaning in to what he gave me as a sermon tonight. Right down to even what Justin was saying. And what happened over here. I mean, perfect. As a matter of fact, Christina, come pray for me, for my teaching. You've been prayed over. I want your, I want some of that.
A word we've been received tonight is taken to heart. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. We are doing a teaching, not necessarily a preaching or a sermon. This will be more of a teaching. So if you want to take notes, please feel free to do so. And we've got to start out with a little joke. Anybody heard the joke about the atheist and the bear?
Yeah.
The ATS?
The atheist and the bear.
No.
Atheist was hiking in the woods, and suddenly a huge bear popped out from behind a bush. Right as the bear is about to attack, time freezes, and God appears. God says, you have spent your whole life as an atheist, but if you finally believe in me and become Christian, I will stop the bear from eating you. Man says, that's really nice of you, but nah, I don't really want to believe in a higher power. God says, all you have to do is believe in your eyes, or with your eyes, and accept me in your heart. The man said, nah, it's just too hard to do for me. I mean, science has already answered how we came about through evolution. And not only that, but all the bad things happening in the world right now, I think it's just too difficult to believe that there's a God. I can't do it. God asks, are you sure? I'll give you a little bit more opportunity to believe in me. You know, take your time and think about it. Nah, I don't need any time. My mind's made up. God says, okay, you've made your choice, man. Man says, wait, how about this? Why don't you make the bear a Christian instead? And then he'll have some morals, and he'll leave me alone. God says, very well. And boom, as soon as God leaves, time restarted. The bear suddenly stopped his attack, and the man smiled as his plan to save himself clearly worked out. And the bear simply knelt down and says, bless us, O Lord, and these are gifts which we are about to receive. So obviously his plan did work too well. Okay, as some of you remember, one of the earliest sermons I ever gave here was on neurolinguistics. What we say is a direct reflection of what we think. So if we change the way that we think, it changes the way, or if we want to change the way we think, we need to change what we're saying. This is a follow-up teaching. This deals with the particular application of your speech to change your thoughts. This is very practical. Please, if you got paper, take notes. I'm going to ask you to directly apply this to your life at the end of this teaching. We're in Romans 12:2. I hear a door. And 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sounds like a good motivational quote, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds inspiring, but almost vague. What Paul is actually describing is not inspiration. It's a process. In fact, buried inside that single verse is the exact mechanism that neuroscientists would not officially discover until the late 20th century. And that process is called neuroplasticity. The brain's ability to physically rewire itself based on repeated input. See how God opened it up with the prophetic? I mean, it's just beautiful. A little background. Prior to the 1960s, people believed what was there, and there was no way to change it. It wasn't until the 1960s that Eric Kandel and Paul Gringard received a Nobel Prize in physiology and one in medicine for discovering this neuroplasticity. And I go back and think, how could Paul, they didn't discover this until the 1960s, how could Paul have known that 2,000 years earlier without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Let's take a look at what I'm talking about. When you understand the original Greek words he used, you realize Romans 12:2 isn't spiritual language, it's biological. He said, do not be conformed to this world. That word conformed is, how do you pronounce that, Jane? Schizo, matizo, we'll call it. Which means, literally, to be pressed into a mold. Do not be conformed to the world. Don't let the world press you into a mold. Meaning you follow the world's transient pattern. And then there's other words. Semimorphizo?
Yes.
Or semimorphosis, which is to be made similar in essence or character. Often used for becoming Christ-like. The difference. One is temporal, external. It's a molding, and it's you're pressed into a mold. This one is talking about a deeper internal transformation into a shared form, becoming one with Christ. Okay? The choice depends on the context and how they use it. Your brain is being molded right now by what you repeatedly see, what you repeatedly hear, and what you repeatedly think. This is too often influenced by social media, news cycles, criticism, fear-based thoughts, etc. Here's a key. If you got paper, write it down. Your mind adapts to whatever environment it lives in most. So whatever environment you're in most is where your mind adapts to. And often, unfortunately, that's usually not a spiritual idea. And that's neuroscience in a nutshell. All right. He said you can't get rid of the old unless you get, you can't get new unless you get rid of the old. As I was writing this, and I don't have this written down, but it reminded me, how many of you have lived in your house for quite a while and you have a pathway on where you go? And you've beaten down the grass and you've actually got a dirt path to where you're going, right? That's what we're talking about. You have built a pathway. And the only way to get that path to grow over is what? To take a different path and allow that one to grow over and to start a new one. And that's what we're talking about today, how we do that in our brain. Okay. Okay, in the 60s, they believed the adult brain was fixed, hardwired, and unchangeable. Then brain imaging technology proved something shocking. The brain is constantly changing. Every thought you think creates a new neural pathway. Repeat that thought and the pathway strengthens, just like the pathway in your lawn. Keep repeating it and it becomes automatic. It is almost as if we instinctively knew this for thousands of years. You should know this, Josh. We sing many different Christian songs, repeatedly and repeating the verses. We know that David wrote the Psalms, and many of those were sung songs. Why? Because it's easier to remember. As they kept singing them and kept singing them, it became memorization, it became automatic. Every song that's got that word, Selah, you notice many of them have it at the end. That's a cantor's mark. That's where the cantor's supposed to stop, and that Selah means be still in the presence of God. So we know these psalms were sung. So these neural pathways that get burned in, that's why anxiety feels permanent. Your brain didn't choose anxiety. You actually taught your brain through repetition. Here's another key. Learned pathways can be unlearned. And new pathways can replace old ones. That's why Paul doesn't say, try harder. He says, transformed. Transformed is renewing. The Greek word, I'm not even going to try that, Jade.
Anakinesis.
Ana means, again, kinesis. New quality, not polished, not refurbished, or rebuilt. It is a new thing happening here. What are we talking about? The word transformed is the same word used for a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. This is not self-improvement. This is structural change. A caterpillar doesn't become a butterfly by effort. It undergoes cellular level restructuring. That's what Paul says happens in your mind by the renewing of your mind. And then he shows us how to do it. Open your Bibles back up. We just read 12:2. He gives it to us in 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The word soberly here, Jane, need your pronunciation.
I can pronounce it.
Are you
kidding?
Go ahead.
Sopersone, or sopersone.
Sopersone, which means to think in alignment with reality, the truth, having a sane, rational mind, able to make right judgments, especially important for spiritual maturity and leadership. And then what's Paul do? He immediately lists repeated behaviors, teaching, serving, giving, exhorting. In Romans 12, 5 through 10, let's take a look at it. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differently according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our own ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting, or exhortation, he that giveth, let him do with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kind, or kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor. I lost my belief. Preferring one another. These aren't random virtues. These are repetitive actions. Mm-hmm. Repeated thoughts, repeated behavior, repeated truth. That's how our brain changes. By reinforcing this. In Philippians 4:8, and I'll just read it because it backs this up. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The word think doesn't mean passive awareness. It means active, repeated focus that's directed. You talked, Beth, about meditating on the Psalms, not just reading them. And that's what he's talking about here, directed. Psalm 1:2 says, the blessed person meditates day and night. In Joshua 1:8, he says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In Deuteronomy, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto my children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest. Why? Because repetition creates new structure. Modern neuroscience confirms it. It takes roughly 66 days of consistent repetition for a new neural pathway to become dominant. Scripture didn't guess, or didn't guess that it assumed it. 66 days. Kurt, how many books in the Bible? I just gave you the answer. What is 66? 66 books in the Bible, 66 days. Is it a coincidence? Probably. God's plan unfolding before us. This is why speaking scripture out loud is so powerful. When you speak truth, listen here, when you speak truth, your brain receives auditory input, it receives motor input, it receives visual input, and cognitive input all at the same time. You are quadruple encoding your brain when you speak out the scriptures. And we know in Romans 10:17 it says, faith comes by
hearing,
not silent reading. And hearing comes by
word of God.
The word of God. When you hear your own words speak truth repeatedly, your brain codes it as identity. It becomes part of who you are. It's not just informational. And again, if you're taking notes, write that down, because that's another big key. We are new creatures, new structures. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and he is a new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, present your bodies. Not just your spirit, not your brain, but your body also includes your nervous system, your biology. Paul is saying in Romans 12:2, your transformation isn't just spiritual, it's also neurological. And Second Corinthians 10:5, believe it or not, actually explains the mechanics behind it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. These high things are also strongholds. These are the neural pathways that are already burned into our brain. The ones we go back to. We talked about this the other day, right? You talk about it, suffer stress, I don't know where it comes from. That could be a neural pathway that you burned there back in college that has become the default that you keep going back to. And you don't even realize it. But once it's burned in, unless you make the change, that stronghold remains. So how do we tear them down? By capturing thoughts, redirecting them, and replacing them repeatedly. That's called self-directed neuroplasticity. So here's what this looks like practically. In a few minutes, I'm going to have you pick one area where your mind feels stuck. Fear, insecurity, control, anxiety. Then we're going to pick one verse that confronts that lie. We're going to write it down and post it, write it on a post-it note. I'm going to ask you to take that post-it note home and stick it on your bathroom mirror when you wake up in the morning to brush your teeth. Read it out loud to yourself. Before you go to bed at night. When you're brushing your teeth at night, read it out loud to yourself. And we'll get into that a little bit. I want to go just a little bit further here. Speak it out loud every morning and every night. Not because it feels spiritual, but because you'll be building a new neural pathway around that old one. Now, back when I was doing inpatient treatment at Med Park, Adolescent Chemical Dependency Unit, I would spend about the first 2, sometimes 3 days with these clients coming in. And we would do their using history and all the bad things that happened in their life, and everything was negative, and you gotta get all the information for the insurance company. So they beat themselves up for 3 days looking at a sober picture of how rotten things had actually gotten. So at the end of all of it, I would ask them, tell me 5 positive things about yourself. And most of them struggled. So we come up with 5 positive things about themselves. I have them write it down on a post-it note, stick it on the mirror in their room. Say, now in the morning I want you to get up and read these 5 positive things and then add 5 more. And by the third day, 15 was about all they could handle. Now understand, in the life of an addict, why does an addict use? Because. And that's a big word. That means that the addict recognized already that there is a problem with their use and that they need to justify in order to make it okay for them to use. So there's always an excuse. Why are you drinking today? Oh, it's a dog's birthday. Whatever it took. And usually it was negative. So they had a lot of focus on the negative things in their life to justify their use and had lost the ability to recognize the positive things in their life. Maybe I'm too optimistic. I believe we're 90% of us is in good shape. 10% is under construction and there ain't a whole lot we can do about it. God's doing the work. How many people agree with that? 90% is in good shape, but we only got about 10% we got to work on. But God's got to do the work. These kids, everything was negative. And if 15, after they get to the third day, and then they'd have to ask the group of kids they were working with to get something positive. I wanted to see what kind of an impact it had. I had kids that had been through 90 days of treatment. They did 6 months of aftercare. And some of them on the fourth month of aftercare were still adding to their list. They were still reading those things off the mirror because they had to reintroduce themselves to themselves. So I know this system works. All right. This is going to be kind of a short. We've got a page or two left here. So what these guys were doing, what my patients were doing without knowing it, was they were rebuilding a neural pathway. And it worked very effectively. And like I said, many of them continued to do it after discharge. So, let's look at this in practice. You can imagine, day one, feels kind of awkward because it's new. And it may even feel silly. Day 10 begins to feel a little bit more familiar. It's something I can do and something I can continue to do. On or around day 20, your brain starts reaching for that information automatically. And not only when you're looking into the mirror, but at other times during the day, this will just pop in your head. Say it out loud. And by day 66, it becomes your default. That old pathway in the lawn is completely grown over. You can't even see where it is. And there's a new pathway in its place. Now that's transformation. It's not by trying harder. It's by rewiring smarter. Romans 12:2 is not poetic encouragement. It's a blueprint. Your mind can be rebuilt starting today. So here's what we're going to do. Who wants to help me? Luke? There's about 10 or 12, so give like 2 to every row. And then there's 1 over here. I'm going to pass out some sheets with common life problems and corresponding Bible verses. For those that you have your phone out, you can also Google on your phone. It's Bible verses for 25 life struggles. And go to images, and it gives you all kinds of different images. And you'll see numerous suggestions.
Google what again?
Bible verses for 25 life struggles. You only need one per, I didn't make one for everybody. I want you all working in groups. At least 2.
So it's 3 pages.
It's 3 pages. Yeah.
So he's handing them out. You didn't explain that. He's handing out 1.
Oh, I had them all set up as a group, but I want everyone to pick one verse that best addresses one of your predominant current strongholds that you haven't been able to overcome. One that you keep going back to. And I want you to write down the corresponding verse. Andrew. You want to pass out tablets? Just like 1 to each row, I guess. I don't know how many are there, but they can share. Just look through the sheets, help each other out, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, kids. You probably know the strongholds of your spouse better than they do. You want to pass the pencils up? Oh, my. If anybody needs a pen or a pencil.
Kelly, should I still be recording?
I'm almost done. So, we're going to take... Anybody else need a... You're going to take and write it down on a post-it note. You're going to take that post-it note home. And we're just going to do an experiment. I want you to put it on your mirror. I want you to read it in the morning.
Because I hate
when you brush your teeth out loud to yourself. And I want you to read it at night before you go to bed. If you want, you can put it in a note on your phone. You can remind yourself to read it during the day. But it's kind of interesting, Christina, because we talked about you need to be reading that psalm over yourself. Like I said, God set this up perfectly today. But as you read that over yourself, like I said, in about a month, it's going to become automatic. You're going to be repeating this stuff. If you can, sing it. And in about 2 months, I want to hear praise reports. Either it didn't work or it's making a difference. But it can't hurt. All we're doing, Pastor talked a lot about words, and words have meanings, and we need to watch our words. All we're doing is speaking truth over your life. You're speaking truth to tear down the old strongholds that you have been unable to overcome and to continue to interfere in your life. Keep it up. Because in 66 days, what we're doing is we're not building a road, we're building a new superhighway. Again, pick your verse, repeat it daily, give your brain time to do what God designed it to do. It's interesting, Paul didn't need brain scans to know that this worked. Science is just catching up. Romans 12:2 is neuroplasticity. We didn't just read a verse. We discovered the manual on how to change. Now, this will make more sense. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? One verse can be so transformative. And we read through it and don't understand what Paul was saying until we really break it down and see that there is a way that we can make those changes. Amen?
Amen.
But take some time now. Do your homework. Like I said, have you started it? We talked about it a couple months, or about 2-3 weeks ago.
I put it on my bathroom here.
Have you been saying it to yourself?
No. What I said is I'm going to put it on my
bathroom. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you brought that up, I knew this was coming. That's why I wanted you to get started. And you can take that sheet with you. And like I said, I went on the phone and I looked up 25 common scriptural problems, and it didn't give me 25. It had like different placards and posters and, you know, all kinds of stuff you can look at to try and figure out what scriptural verse goes with what issue.
You told us to look up in Google. Was that... There was multiple that popped up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The one I'm at is, it took me to the NIV Bible, but I mean, probably could have gone to any number of churches.
Yeah, and they can find all kinds of, you know, some people recognize. We recognized with yours right away. It was Philippians you needed to go to. But others, they're still questioning, and that's just kind of a guideline to help you to figure out. But this isn't memorization. It's important that you speak it out loud, that you hear yourself say it, that you let it begin to transform. It's a process.
those neural pathways you've got in your brain, they didn't build overnight. It took a long time. And it'll take time for you to repave the road. Amen.
Amen. Very good.